Before we get into the message, our brother Wayne has something for us. We appreciate you, brother.
On behalf of Homestead Park United Methodist Church, Merry Christmas from Pastor Jack and all the crew down there. I also preach for them. But you know, it seems the world takes most of our Christian traditions, puts a little tweak on them. You know, and it kind of supports their agenda. So you know what? I think Turnavat is fair play. So we're going to do a little tweak on one of their stories. 'Twas the night before Jesus, and all through the world, mankind lived as we wished, the commandments unfurled. The Bibles were strewn about the rooms without care, because we never thought God would come there. The children were tucked tightly in bed, but the shame of it was they'd never bowed their heads. No prayers to say, no time to talk, for we the good people were on the Christian walk. And I thought all was well, all was fine, as I relaxed in my chair, for I thought I was righteous, and God would be fair. Then from the east there came such a clatter, I ran to the window to see what was the matter. I opened the window, and to my surprise, an angel of the Lord, with fire in his eyes. The Lamb's Book of Life he held in his hand, the keys to eternity and the great promised land. The names were all in gold, the letters big and round, but try as I might, my name wasn't found. The pages I turned frantically, backwards and fro, but the truth of it was, I didn't know the Lord. All the rituals and feasts I did in his favor, God knew my heart, I didn't love the Savior. The angel explained God's plan of salvation, how cruelly enough only the believers would be taken. Now the angel ascended upward without care. Many believers from below met him in the air. I cried to the angel, what can I do? For now I'm afraid and want to go with you. The angel replied, salvation is free, the gift of Christmas Day. All you need to do is kneel down and pray. As the angel was gone and faded from sight, finally it hit me, the Bible was right. Now it is time for the story to end, but how it is completed on you will depend. Christmas is about the great gift of the Lord, and only through him is heaven assured. So the book is now open, and the pen is in hand. Be sure your name is written in the book of the Lamb.
Hey, let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up. We put them into your hands. We ask that you do what you will with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. As you can see in your bulletin, I'm going to talk about O Holy Night. My plan was to put a copy of it on the back of the bulletin. That's why there was no announcements. And I couldn't do it anyway without putting Mary and Jesus onto a third page. So then I said, I'll just come here and I'll have you turn to it in the hymnal. So I called Barb where it was because I couldn't find it. She said, it's not in our hymnal. So if I'm not here next Sunday, it's because I went back to being Baptist where it's in the hymnal. That's what. I know that when we go to conference this year, we're going to have to deal with this, get it back in the hymnal stuff. Because for me, one of the defining moments of every Christmas is when someone who is capable of doing so takes the reins of O Holy Night, digs their spurs in, and sets those words and notes free to do what they can do. Because worship is an emotional embodiment and expression of a spiritual truth. And for me, there are few songs that make me feel what I know about my God more deeply than this hymn of Christmas. We made up most of what we do on Christmas. There's no mandate in Scripture on how to celebrate the holiday, or even a mandate to celebrate it at all. Two of the four Gospels don't even give the account, as they open with the ministry of John the Baptist instead of the birth of Jesus Christ. And honestly, we've gotten a few things wrong. We've taken events out of order and celebrated them at the wrong time of year. And we've created our own idealized version of what transpired and asked God not to interrupt us with his details and facts. And for the most part, God's okay with that. He's mindful that we're dust. He knows what we need, because while we have made it into what we want it to be, God made it for what we needed it to be. And his purpose will always overcome any other purpose. As for me, there's a moment every year where what God did on Christmas Day overwhelms everything we have done to Christmas. And I begin to feel my theology. The truth prevails every year, no matter how much we burden it with our decorations. And for me, that moment of clarity came a few weeks ago when I was in the midst of a lot of stuff, troubled and pulled in every direction. When Christine Santorino came up here, along with Barb, and gave to the Lord and to us an offering of worship that the angels turned their ears to hear, O Holy Night, I felt my faith. All that I knew to be true about my God, all the verity of his word that had been proven to me time and again, became physically tactile in the most pleasant sense of the word. Now, I don't base my theology on emotions about God. My emotions about God come from my theology. What I feel at Christmas, the comfort and the joy that the angels claimed the good news would bring, is based on what I know. And when that song was sung, I emotionally experienced a little bit of heaven. That melodious truth made me feel good. And no matter what else we get wrong, if we get this right, Christmas is both a blessing from our God and a means for us to bless our God back. There's no magic in the song. It may not do for you what it did for me. It may be another carol or human expression that touches your heart at this time of year. Or maybe it's the totality of the circumstances that stirs your emotion. For me, the power of this song is in its understanding and proclamation of my faith. Now, before I explain my faith through the words of this carol, I want to give you a little background. Now, there are some variations on this story, but generally, it goes something like this. The words were written in 1847 as a poem by a Frenchman, Placide Capot. He was a socialist, an atheist, a lawyer, and a wine merchant. Tradition claims that he was asked to write the poem by a parish priest for a Christmas Eve service that was commemorating the arrival of a new church organ. The work was called The Song of Christmas. Later, Capot asked a friend, a Jewish Parisian composer, Adolf Adam, to write a musical score for the poem, and the poem became a hymn sung on that Christmas Eve. Later, when Capot left the church to pursue socialism, and when it was discovered that the composer was Jewish, the hymn was officially banned from the French church. Now, thankfully, the hymn was so powerful that the people ignored the ban and sang it anyway. 10 years later, American abolitionist and Unitarian minister John Dwight was captivated by the hymn's message, and seeing a link between the theology of the hymn and his political views, he translated the hymn into English, and it became a Christmas standard in churches around the nation. Then in 1906, Reginald Fessenden, a co-worker of Thomas Edison's, was monkeying around with a microphone and a telegraph machine. And he read the story of Jesus' birth from Luke, and then he played O Holy Night on his violin, and telegraph operators around the world heard for the first time a man's voice over the wire, and what they heard was scriptural account of the first Christmas and the hymn O Holy Night. So the carol that so profoundly makes me feel what I believe was written over 150 years ago by a French atheist lawyer, booze merchant, and the music was composed by a Jew who didn't believe in Christ. Their collaboration was rejected officially by the church, but was maintained by an underground faction. A decade later, an American dissident, taken by its political message, translated into English. And 60 years after it was penned, it became the first song ever played on the radio. And over 150 years after it was written, Christine walked up here, sang it, and it once again touched the heart of those who love the Lord. Considering this dubious heritage, why has this hymn survived and thrived? Because it makes us feel basic truths about our faith. Remember, I spent several weeks talking to you about faith. Actually, several months. It sounded like weeks from up here. I've made notes of three things that are essential for our faith in God to be reasonable to us. These three things have to be there, or we can't believe it. These three factors are clearly stated in O Holy Night. And I've included an insert for you to read along or look at if you want. First, God knows that I need help. The hymn says, long lay the world in sin and error pining. He knows our needs. To our weakness, no stranger. This song makes it clear that God sees us and has regarded our helpless estate. Jesus Christ was not God's response to our fall. Jesus Christ was the plan before we fell. God always knew what we would do to ourselves and that he would have to save us from us. He created us anyway. And when he was done, he said, it is good. The only person who has ever been out of God's watchful view was Jesus Christ when he became my sin. The moment he became what I am and I became what he is before the throne of God. The moment God separated himself from himself because he wanted to be a part of me. God was always aware of our desperate plight, of the horrific consequences of our depraved nature. He knows we need help. Psalms 56:8 says, you have taken account my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Psalms 42, 2-3 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they said to me all day long, where is your God? We suffer in a world of our own making. We have exchanged our hope and our peace for a shiny piece of fruit that rotted the moment we touched it, each and every one of us. He clearly warned us, so he knew the danger. He knew what we were getting ourselves into. But we couldn't grasp his warning. Having never lost a thing, the concept of loss was foreign to us. Now, it's all we know. We suffered in our sins and asked God where he was. Does he see us? Has he justly left us to ourselves? Are we alone because of what we are and what we've done? On this day, God made himself known. He was always there, but tonight we celebrate the fact that he let us know that we're not alone, and we never were. Christmas is God saying to every person, whoever lived, I see you, I always have. I've never lost sight of your plight. I know your needs. I'm no stranger to your weakness. I know you need help. Now, once we know that God knows we need his help, for our faith to be reasonable, we have to know that he can help us. The song says, the King of Kings lay lowly in a manger. Behold your King. Fall on your knees. Hear the angels' voices. Praise his holy name. Jesus Christ is Lord. The writer of this carol makes sure we know exactly who it is that lays in that manger. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is God. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present. And there is absolutely nothing that stands between his will and its accomplishment. If he decides to help you, rest assured, help is on the way. Now, in Luke's Christmas account, God tells Mary what he's about to do, and he reassures her with a very short sentence, Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. That's all she needs to hear. Now, years after God accomplished all that he told Mary he would do, Paul writes to the Ephesians in 1:19-20. But what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the workings of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. In Luke, God lets us know that he has the power to help us. In Ephesians, he lets us know that he used the power starting on Christmas Day. If God says he's going to help you, help is inevitable. So this carol tells us that God is aware we need help and that he's capable of helping us. The only thing left that we need to know, that we need to have reasonable faith in him, is to know that he has saved us. He knows, he can, and he did. The song says, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. He appeared and a soul felt its worth, born to be our friend. Chains shall he break, in his name all oppression shall cease. Our Savior was born this night. The title indicates that he saw my plight, that he had the power to save me from it, and he did so. He saw, he interceded, and he saved me and you. He did what was needed to be done. Our souls feel worth because of the price he paid to save us, the great cost of being our Savior. How important are we to God? He left heaven, came into this fallen world, separated himself from himself, and then he died an horrific death for us, for you. This defines the worth of your soul, nothing else. Allow yourself to feel this truth tonight. It says he was born to be our friend. Well, Romans 5:10 tells us, for while we were still enemies, we reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Our natural state before Jesus Christ came on Christmas was enemies of God. Now, John 15:13, Jesus clarifies everything. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. We went from being enemies of God to being the friends of God because he gave his life to reconcile us to God, to restore the relationship we had so casually dismissed because he loves us. More than anything, this carol makes me feel the great truth of Christianity. God loves me. That he was my friend while I was his enemy. The words fall on your knees don't represent a command. They represent the honor it is to be allowed to worship the God who befriended me when I so desperately needed a friend to save me. God has prepared a table for Christ in the presence of his enemies. Apply the 23rd Psalm to Jesus Christ. Well, who are the enemies he prepared a table for? You and me. Why? Because he loves us. He not only saved us, but he is sanctifying us. He's not saving us and leaving us like this. He has broken the chains we have shackled ourselves with, and the oppression of our souls will cease. Scripture says when we see him as he is, we will be like him. That is the hope that we live every day. This is why this song makes me feel what I know. How, oh holy, that night was. Fall on your knees and let all that is within you praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. I know this. But when I hear this song, I feel it. And that is what makes my Christmas merry. No matter what I'm facing. And I leave you with this. The end to the Christmas story. Revelation 19:11-16. This is how it ends. And I saw the heavens opened. Behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him, which no one knows except himself. He is self-defining. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, are following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepresses of fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Never allow yourself to forget the child we worship tonight. He is a warrior. He has chosen to be your friend. Because of this, we will ride alongside of him in triumph instead of stand in front of him in fear. As always, I ask you to pray for those who can't be home for Christmas because they're protecting us from us. Pray for those of us who came home with a little less than they left with. Those who will pay the price every day of their lives, with body or mind for serving us. And will continue to do so until Jesus calls them home and wipes away their tears. Pray for those of us who have lost someone so precious to them that the joy of this day is lost in sadness. Pray that they find the abiding joy that is to come. The day when we will all finally and truly be home for Christmas. The day when Jesus looks under his tree and finds what he has longed for and what he has been waiting for. All of us together forever with him. Have a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.